الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. أما بعد, in our previous class, we were reading from that chapter the author he mentioned, رحمه الله تعالى باب فضائل تلاوة القرآن وتعلمه وتعليمه, the chapter on the virtues of reciting the Quran and learning it and teaching it. We had taken a number of benefits that the people of knowledge have derived from the narrations, from the ayat and the narrations that the author he mentioned in that particular chapter. And from that is the virtue of the Quran, no doubt, and the virtue of the one who carries the Quran, the student of the Quran, and the one who applies the Quran and abides by it in his life. He has a high and lofty status in this life, in the grave, and in the hereafter. In this life, in the grave, in the hereafter. From the blessing of the Quran, the one who learns it, and the one who abides by its legislation and law, he will be raised. He will be raised. He will find a high and lofty status in this life. And likewise, that benefit and virtue will carry on with him in the hereafter. He's raised even in the grave. And likewise on the day of resurrection. And likewise on the day of resurrection. So proceeding from this issue here, the author he mentions now, بَابٌ مَا جَاءَ فِي تَقْدِيمِ أَهْلِ الْقُرْآنِ وَإِكْرَامِهِمْ بَابٌ مَا جَاءَ فِي تَقْدِيمِ أَهْلِ الْقُرْآنِ وَإِكْرَامِهِمْ, the chapter on what has come about the precedence of the people of the Quran and them being honored. So whenever the people of the Quran, they are the people of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they are those whom Allah, He loves and favors, subhanahu wa ta'ala, then it's incumbent to show them precedence and to recognize their virtue and to honor and respect them. And to honor and respect them. So the author, he says, rahimahullahu ta'ala, wa kana al-qurra'u ashaba majlisi Umar, kuhudan kanu aw shababa. Kuhudan kanu aw shababa. So the author, he mentions a narration which is mentioned in Sahih Bukhari. The reciters were the people of the Council of Umar, and they were the elders and the youth. And Ibn al-Bukhari, rahimahullah, he mentions this in his authentic collection. وَكَانَ الْقُرَّاءِ الْقُرَّاءِ, any of the reciters. Al-Qurra' is the plural of Al-Qari. But many times with regards to this word in the terminology of the Salaf, it's referring to the students of knowledge and to the scholars. And they were the ones who used to recite the Qur'an. So the Qurra, literally the reciters. But here, meaning the scholars, those who memorized the book of Allah Azza wa Jalla and understood it and applied it. They were the council of Umar radiallahu anhum. Umar radiallahu anhum and his khilafah, he had a council that he would seek consultation with. He had a group of individuals from the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wa radiyallahu anhum, that he would seek consultation in, and he would get advice from them before making important decisions, radiyallahu anhu. This is from his sound mind, and also recognizing the virtue of those around him from those noble companions, that he would not proceed, even though he's the Khalifa. He would not proceed on his own first thoughts or on his own opinion. Rather, he would get the advice from the other virtuous people of knowledge, from the noble companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And these individuals here, as mentioned, they were elders and likewise youth. He says here, shababan, but in Sahih Bukhari it says shubbanan. Any of the meaning is similar. So this is clear that Umar radiallahu anhu, he chose the people of the Quran because of their virtue and knowledge and the application of that knowledge to be in his council and to get advice from. To be in his council and to get advice from. No doubt this is a high and lofty rank and status for the people of the Quran. And this is why they were chosen in this life, in the likes of this affair, honored and respected and brought to this high rank in the likes of these gatherings. After this, the author, he says, rahimahullah, wa an Abi Mas'udin radiyallahu anhu, anna Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam qal, ya umul qawma aqra'uhum li kitabillah, fin kanu fil qira'ati sawa' fa'alamuhum bis sunnah, fin kanu fil sunnati sawa' fa'aqdamuhum hijratan, fin kanu fil hijrati sawa' fa'aqdamuhum sinna. Abu Mas'ud radiyallahu anhu, he reported that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, the person who is best versed in the recitation of the Book of Allah should lead the prayer. But if all those present are equally versed in it, then the one who is most knowledgeable of the Sunnah. And if they are equal in that respect also, then the one who has migrated first. And if they are equal in this respect also, then the oldest of them. Then the oldest of them. وَفِي رِوَايَةٍ سِلْمَا. And in one wording, the one who is senior most in accepting Islam. Yani in place of the one who is oldest. In place of the one who is oldest. The narration continues. وَلَا يَؤْمَنَّ وَلَا يَؤْمَنَّ الرَّجُلُ رَجُلَ فِي سُلْطَانِهِ وَلَا يَؤْمَنَّ الرَّجُلُ رَجُلَ فِي سُلْطَانِهِ وَلَا يَقْعُدُ فِي بَيْتِهِ عَلَى تَكْرِيمَتِهِ إِلَّا بِإِذْنِهِ رواه مسلم. And no man should lead another in prayer where the latter has authority, or sit in his place of honor without his permission. It's narrated by Muslim. So the intent of the author by mentioning this narration is clear, that the one who takes precedence in leading the prayer is the one who has the most knowledge of the Book of Allah. يَأُمُّ الْقَوْمَ أَقْرَأُهُمْ لِكِتَابِ اللَّهِ. The one who should lead the people is the one who has the most knowledge and is best versed with regards to the Book of Allah. The people of knowledge, they differed with regards to what is intended here, whether it's the one who memorized the most or has the one who has the best recitation and the likes. But Allah knows best. If we look into those who are addressed in the likes of this narrations, we see the way that they learn the Quran. And it had preceded in our previous class that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he would teach the companions radiallahu anhum the Quran, teaching them the knowledge and the application of that at one time. And they would learn al-ilm wal-amal ma'an. They would learn the knowledge and the application of that recitation and that knowledge all at the same time. So the one who would be the most versed in the Book of Allah, meaning memorized more than the other, he would also have the greatest understanding as well, and be from the firmest in the application of that. So Allah knows best. Al-Aqra min as-sahaba kana afqahuhum kadhalika. The one who was considered the most well-versed in the Book of Allah from the companions, radiallahu anhum, he would also be considered having the greatest understanding in the religion, because they learned these verses along with the meanings, and along with the rulings, and along with the application of that. So what is intended here, al-murad bi al-aqra, yani al-aqra ma al-fiqhi fi dinillah. The one who has the one who memorized the most and is most well versed in the Quran, along with having understanding in the deen of Allah Azza wa Jal. And we know that from the companions there are several that have been praised greatly by the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam for their ability to recite. And at the head of them was Ubay ibn Ka'b radiallahu anhu. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he mentioned Aqra'ukum Ubay, that the one who is the Aqra', the one who is the most well-versed in the Book of Allah, is Ubay ibn Ka'b radiallahu anhu. But along with that, whenever the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he became sick, he appointed Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu to lead the prayer. Because of his great knowledge and his position and status and rank. So Allah knows best, the one who is appointed here to be the leader, the one who has the most right and shown precedence, is the one who is the most versed in the Book of Allah, memorized the most, along with understanding in the religion, especially with regards to the issues of the prayer. Because many times things happen in the prayer. If a person, he does not have fiqh in the deen, he does not know how to rectify them. He does not know how to deal with them. He does not know how to fix problems and issues that may occur in the daily prayers. So simple recitation and memorization is not sufficient to fulfill that position properly. And Allah knows best. So in any case, it's very clear that the person of the Quran, he's shown precedence here. He has the right to be the imam. He has the right to lead the believers in prayer. And this is a high status and a high rank. And this is a high status and a high rank. Also here in the narration, وَلَا يُؤْمَنَّ وَلَا يُؤْمَنَّ الرَّجُلُ الرَّجُلَ فِي سُلْطَانِهِ. And no man should lead another man in prayer in his place of authority. Meaning, for example, in his home. Meaning a man, he will not lead another man in prayer in his own home, nor in his place of work, or in his place where he has authority. Or, for example, if there is a Muslim ruler and he's present, he has the right to lead the salah. And likewise, al-imam al-ratib is included here. The appointed imam of a particular masjid, he has the most right to lead the prayer. Even if there are individuals that memorize more than him, or more well-versed than him, or more knowledgeable than him, if it's his home, if it's his place of authority, if it's his business, if it is his masjid that he has been entrusted to lead the daily prayers in, he has the right. He has the right, and that right should not be violated. And this is something that some people, they don't understand, or they're negligent with regards to the position of the imam, for example. Many times we find people counting down the clocks for the time of the iqamah. If 1 minute goes by or 2 minutes goes by and the imam is not present, they do not see him yet, they're ready to do away with this right. And they're ready to violate this right and to appoint an imam as quick as possible and just put anybody up there in his place. And this is not proper. He has a right. He has a right. The one who has the right to lead the salah in the masjid is the appointed imam, al-imam al-ratib. No doubt there is some cooperation that will be there, and the imam generally will appoint someone to fill in for him if he's late and the likes like this. But the point is that this is a great right, that one who should not neglect it right away or hasten to do away with that and replace the imam as if he's nothing after 1 minute or 2 minutes, especially whenever many times we're judging this time based upon watches, and sometimes one watch will say different than another. We'll say different than another by 1 or 2 minutes. So maybe his watch is different than the watch that is being used, for example. Or maybe he's in the masjid but somebody stopped him at the door. Or maybe. In any case, we should not hasten to do away with that right. Rather, we should honor that with wisdom and the likes. And Allah knows best. So this is from the right of a person in his authority, a person in his authority. وَلَا يَقْعُدْ فِي بَيْتِهِ عَلَى تَكْرِيمَتِهِ إِلَّا بِإِذْنِهِ. And likewise, he should not sit in his place of honor. The takrima, what is intended here is the place in a man's home, his position where he normally will sit himself. So a person, he will not sit in that place in someone's house that normally the head of the house will sit there. Except with the permission of the head of the house. And in reality, this is from the manners of being a guest, that a person, he will sit where they sets him. So many times the guests, they do not know the situation of the house or the layout of the house. And maybe there are women in the house or family members that do not want to be exposed to the guests and the likes like this. So the host will set the guests in the places that are suitable for them in order to avoid their eyes falling on something that is not proper or not good, so on and so forth. So whenever one comes as a guest to another's house, he will sit where the host sets them, and he will not sit before they allow him. And this is from the good manners. Especially he will not sit in the chair that is known to be the place where the host himself normally he sits, except after there's permission. If the host comes in and he grants a person permission, alhamdulillah, then everything is good and easy. But this is from the noble manners of al-Islam, observing the rights of others. The author, he says, وَلِلْ بُخَارِ عَنْ جَابِرٍ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ أَنَّهُ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَمَ كَانَ يَجْمَعُ بَيْنَ الرَّجُلَيْنِ فِي قَتْلَ أُحُدٍ فِي ثَوْبٍ وَاحِدٍ ثُمَّ يَقُولُ أَيُّهُمْ أَكْثَرُ أَخْثًا لِلْقُرْآنِ فَإِذَا أُشِيرَ لَهُ إِلَى أَحَدِهِمَا قَدَّمَهُ فِي الْلَحَدِ. And collected by al-Bukhari from Jabir radiyallahu anhu, Jabir ibn Abdullah radiyallahu anhuma, him and his father, both of them are noble companions of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He said that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would gather two men killed in the battle of Uhud in a single shroud, in a single shroud, and he also meaning in one grave. Then he would say, which of them knew more of the Quran? And when one of them was pointed out to him, he would give him precedence, putting him first in the grave. Putting him first in the grave. So we've seen that the people of the Quran, they're honored in this life. Honored in this life, as in the example in the gatherings in the council of Umar radiallahu anhu. And likewise, they have the right to lead the people in salah. They have the right to lead the believers in the obligatory prayer. This is a great high and lofty status and rank in this life. And also even in the grave. Also even in the grave, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the Battle of Uhud, there are a number of the companions radiallahu anhum who were martyred. There are a number of the companions who were martyred in the Battle of Uhud. And it was very difficult for the remaining companions because they were wounded and they were weakened. And they didn't have lots of supplies likewise. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam allowed them to bury two or three individuals in one grave. Allowed them in this circumstance to bury two or three individuals in one grave and likewise to shroud them in the same garment. And this is what is being referred to here. But the point the author is making with regards to this narration in this chapter is that in doing this, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he would ask which of them knew the most Quran? Which of them knew the most Quran? And then if one of them was identified, the one who knew more Quran, he will be placed in the grave first. He will be placed in the grave first. And he placed here in the lahad. And the lahad, this is a grave that is dug down and the sides are facing the qibla. And in the direction of the qibla, they will dig a hole into the side. So digging straight down, and then inside, if you dig another hole inside inside the ground, then you dig a shaq and go down, you will set a body in there. This is one way to bury. Another way to bury is to dig down, and then on the side in the direction of the qibla, to dig another hole in, and then to lay the deceased on their right side facing the qibla inside that hole right there. So this is called the lahad. This is how the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he was buried, although he allowed to do both ways, to dig down and then dig a hole into the direction of the qibla in the wall of the grave, and then place the body there, and then put bricks and the likes to seal him off, and then fill the hole back up, and also to dig down and then to dig another small hole in the ground in the bottom to lay the deceased there. All of this is from the methodology of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in burying the deceased. Although the lahad is better, and that's the way of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That's the way the Prophet was buried sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And in some narrations he mentions sallallahu alayhi wa sallam al-lahdu lana wa shaqqu lahum, that the lahad is for us, is for the believers, and the shaq is for them, for the disbelievers. Although it's allowed, both ways are allowed. So the point is now that the lahad is dug in the side and the wall of the grave. So one of them will be shown precedence and he will be facing the qibla directly. He'll be facing the qibla directly. So which one is going to be shown precedence? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he determined this by knowing the one who memorized or learned the most Quran. The one who memorized or learned the most Quran. So this is the intent here of the author, he mentioning this. And he mentions here that this is in Bukhari. And the wording in Bukhari actually continues. And Jabir, he says, radiallahu anhu, فَكُفِّنَا أَبِي وَعَمِّي فِي نَمِرَةٍ وَاحِدَةٍ. And my father and my uncle, both of them were shrouded in one garment. Namira is a garment that has black and white lines on it. So he's mentioning that this is the case. So this is also in dire circumstances, whenever the provisions are not proper, to bury them in one, to bury two people in one shroud, or to bury two people in one grave. Normally, this is not allowed. Normally, this is not allowed except in the likes of these circumstances. The point here is to see that the people of the Quran, they're honored in this life and likewise in death and in the grave. And in the grave, they're honored and showed precedence. They're honored and showed precedence. After this, the author, he says, رَحِمَهُ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى وَعَنْ أَبِي مُوسَى رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ أَنَّ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ قَالَ إِنَّ مِنْ إِجْلَالِ اللَّهِ إِكْرَامُ إن من إجلال الله إكرام ذي الشيبة المسلم وحامل القرآن غير الغالي فيه والجافي عنه وإكرام ذي السلطان وإكرام ذي السلطان حديث حسن رواه أبو داود. So the author, he mentioned, rahimahullah, that Abu Musa reported that the Messenger of Allah, that Abu Musa radiyallahu anhu reported that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, it is from the reverence of Allah to respect the elderly Muslim, the carrier of the Quran and the just ruler. And this narration is Hassan, connected by Abu Dawood. So here, this is also from the rights of the people of the Quran that they should be honored. And this is the evidence for this. So here in this chapter is the clarification of showing precedence and honoring and respecting the people of the Quran in this life and in the grave. And in the previous narrations, it was clarifying that they should be shown precedence. Here is that their virtue and honor should be recognized. In the previous narrations was the right they have to be shown precedence. And here is the right that they have, that their honor and virtue should be recognized. As to the fact that they are honored in the hereafter, then likewise this has proceeded in the previous chapter. And from that was the narration of Abdullah ibn Amr, radiyallahu anhuma, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, يُقَالُ لِصَاحِبِ الْقُرْآنِ يُقَالُ لِصَاحِبِ الْقُرْآنِ اِقْرَأْ وَارْتَقِي اِقْرَأْ وَرَتِّلْ كَمَا كُنْتَ تُرَتِّلُ فِي الدُّنْيَا. That the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that on the day of resurrection it will be said, in some of those wordings in Jannah, to the person of the Qur'an, read, recite it. In a beautiful, slow manner, as you used to in the worldly life, and you are raised ranks for every verse that one is reciting. So this is clear here that they are shown precedence and honored in this life, in the grave, and in the hereafter. As for the narration of Abu Musa, radiyallahu anhu, then the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says, "Inna min ijlalillah ikrama li shaybati muslim." That indeed, from the reverence of Allah, min ijlal Allah, ad-ijlal yani min at-ta'zim, from revering and honoring Allah, showing reverence to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, honoring and magnifying Him subhanahu wa ta'ala, from that is to honor and to respect the elderly Muslim, to honor and to respect the elderly Muslim. And this is also from the beauty of al-Islam, that the elderly from the Muslims, they are honored and respected, and they should not be disrespected. And this is something that we must cultivate ourselves and our children upon, showing honor to the elders and being kind to them and courteous with them and respecting them and not being rude with them or harsh with them and the likes like this. It's come in the hadith of Ubadah ibn Samit radiyallahu anhu, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Laysa minna man lam yujilla kabirana وَيَرْحَمْ صَغِيرَنَا وَيَعْرِفْ لِعَالِمِنَا حَقَّهُ وَيَعْرِفْ لِعَالِمِنَا حَقَّهُ." That it is not, that the one, that he's not from us, لَيْسَ مِنَّا, he's not from us, and he's not upon our way properly, and he's not from those who are promised paradise without any reckoning. لَيْسَ مِنَّا مَنْ لَمْ يُجِلَّ كَبِيرَنَا, he did not honor our elders. وَيَرْحَمْ صَغِيرَنَا, he did not show mercy to our youth. وَيَعْرِفْ لِعَلِيمِنَا حَقَّى, and he did not know the right of our scholar. So this is from the etiquettes of al-Islam. Likewise, so this is from the etiquettes of the deen and the obligations of al-Islam to show honor to the elder and to respect him, and also to be merciful and kind with the youth and the young, and to not be harsh or rude to them as well, and to have concern for them, and also knowing the right of the people of knowledge, knowing the right of the people of knowledge. This narration has also been narrated by Ibn Amr radiyallahu anhuma, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in another wording, he said, "Laysa minna man lam yarham saghirana wa ya'rif haqqa kabirina," that he's not from us, the one who does not show mercy to our youth, to our young ones, and he does not know the right of our elders. He does not know the right of our elders. So this is from honoring Allah. A person, he will respect the elders, and he will show mercy to the youth, and he will recognize the right of the people of knowledge, the scholars and the students, and he would do that seeking the reward from Allah. He would do that in reverence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He would do that in reverence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So from truly honoring Allah and revering Him is to honor the likes of these people. And this is from honoring Allah, because Allah, He has given them these rights. So one cannot truly show reverence and ta'zeem of Allah Azza wa Jal until one shows reverence and ta'zeem of the commandments of Allah and His prohibitions. And in doing that, one, he must fulfill the rights that Allah has given to the people. And some people, Allah has shown preference to. Their rights are greater than others. From the greatest rights of the people upon us are our parents. And then the rights, they are accordingly. From those who have rights upon us, the elders. And likewise, from those who have rights upon us, the youth. And from those who have great rights upon us, the people of knowledge. So this is the intent here. And as for the author, the point from the narration is the statement of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, وَحَامِلَ الْقُرْآنِ غَيْرِ الْغَادِ فِيهِ وَالْجَافِ عَنْهُ. And the carrier of the Qur'an. And the carrier of the Qur'an. Not the one who goes to extremes in it, nor the one who is negligent. This part was not translated here in the translation that we have. That needs to be adjusted and added. And the carrier of the Qur'an. يعني إِنَّ مِنْ إِجْلَالِ اللَّهِ إكرام حامل القرآن غير الغالي فيه والجافي عنه غير الغالي فيه والجافي عنه. Also from honoring and revering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is to show respect and honor for the person of the Quran, the carrier of the Quran, the one who does not go to extremes with it, nor the one who is negligent, So this is the point here. The person of the Qur'an, honoring him is honoring Allah. Honoring the person of the Qur'an in reality is honoring Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the people of the Qur'an, they are the people of knowledge. They have great rights, as has proceeded. But here we see that the one who is honored from the people of the Qur'an, he's the one who is not extreme, nor is he negligent. So we understand from that the people who carry the Qur'an, there are three categories. The people who carry the Qur'an, the three categories. Not all of those who carry the Qur'an are equal in their rank and status. The one that is honored for the sake of Allah is the one who is not extreme, nor is he negligent. And the one who's on a moderate path, the one who is carrying it properly, the one who is reciting it truthfully, the one who is implementing it, and the one who applies it, implements it in the proper manner that is required and intended from the revelation. So the people who carried the Qur'an, the three categories. There are those who work by way of it without going to extremes and without being negligent. This is the one that must be honored. And honoring him and showing him respect is from revering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's from showing reverence to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The second category, al-ghadi fihi. And the one who goes to extremes. With regards to the Qur'an. And one of the clearest examples with regards to this are the Khawarij. One of the clearest examples with regards to Al-Ghali. Al-Ghulat. Fi al-Qur'an. Wal-Yadhu Billah. Al-Khawarij. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he mentioned about them. Tahkir. And he mentioned to his companions, radiyallahu anhum, about the Khawarij. Tahkiruna salatakum ma salatihim. وَقِرَاءَتَكُمْ مَعَ قِرَاءَتِهِمْ. That you belittle your prayer to their prayer, and you belittle your recitation to their recitation. And meaning that they are people of Qur'an outwardly. They recite the Qur'an. In some narrations likewise, لَا يُجَاوِزُ حَنَاجِرَهُمْ. That the recitation of the Qur'an, that the Qur'an that they recite, that does not go beyond their throats. Meaning it doesn't go into their hearts. Until they comprehend and reflect and benefit. It does not go into their hearts until it affects them and they take admonition, and it doesn't go into their minds likewise until they benefit and understand and comprehend. Rather they misunderstand. وَلِيَذُ بِاللَّهِ. So they go to extremes. They take the verses of the Quran that are speaking about the threat of the hellfire that are directed to the disbelievers and those who die upon disbelief. And they apply them to the believers. وَلِيَذُ بِاللَّهِ. So this is an example of that. Those who misinterpret the the Quran. Those who misunderstand the Quran, included along with him, are all of the people of innovation in their different categories. Those who misinterpret the Quran, waliyadhu billah. Also, the third category, al-jafi. Al-jafi fihi. Al-jafi is the one who's negligent, the one who does not apply it in the proper manner. He does not comply to the commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala found in the book. He does not turn away from the prohibitions. It is not turned away from the prohibitions. For example, maybe someone, he will memorize the Quran precisely. He'll memorize the Quran precisely, recite it beautifully and fluently, recite it beautifully and fluently. But he himself, he's negligent with regards to the application of those commandments that are found therein. He's negligent with regards to his prayer. He doesn't pray the obligatory prayer in congregation. He's weak in this. He's weak in this. Yet he memorized the Quran. So this is having al-jafa. And this is being negligent with regards to the Quran, or they're rude or harsh with regards to their parents, or they violate the other prohibitions. They do not lower their gaze, for example, or they do not guard their tongue, or they do not fulfill the other rights that are clarified in the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, although they memorize it and recite it fluently. This is considered al-jafa. This is considered negligence. This is blameworthy. So the one who should be honored is the one who learns it, recites it, and he applies it. Yani the Rabbaniyun, those whom have preceded, the true people of the Quran. It had preceded in the introduction that there is another work called Fada'il al-Quran by Abu Ubaid al-Qasir ibn Salam, rahimahullahu ta'ala. He died in the year 224. He mentioned also in his work this narration, and he has commentary here. And about this point here, of those who go to extreme in the Quran, he says here, فَالْغَادِي الْمُفْرِطْ فِي اتِبَاعِهِ حَتَّى يَخْرُجَ إِلَىٰ إِكْفَارِ النَّاسِ مِثْلِ الْخَوَارِجِ. That the one who goes to extremes, the ghadi, he's the al-mufrit, the one who goes to extremes in following it, until it takes him so far that he will begin to declare the people to be disbelievers like the khawarij. وَالْجَافِي عَنْهُ الْمُضَيِّعُ لِحُدُودِهِ الْمُسْتَخِفُّ بِهِ. And the one who is jafi, he's the one who neglects the limits. He's the one who neglects the limits that are found therein. Yani the commandments and prohibitions. The commandments and prohibitions. And he takes the Quran lightly. And he takes the Quran lightly. And then after this, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, وَإِكْرَامَ بِالسُّلْطَانِ. And likewise to honor the just ruler. All of this is from honoring. It's from honoring Allah, honoring the elderly Muslim, and honoring the one who's carrying the Quran truthfully and properly, the one who doesn't go to extremes, nor is he negligent, and honoring the just ruler. Wa ikram the sultan, yani the person of authority. In some wordings, sultan al-muqsit, yani the just ruler. But even if he was unjust, it's from wisdom that he should be respected, because those who try to belittle the authority, even if maybe they are corrupt, then it's only themselves in the end who wind up being belittled. And the people, they will never revolt against the authorities except they themselves are belittled. Waliyadhu billah. So this is all from honoring Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. After this, the author, he says, بَابٌ وَجُوبُ تَعَلُّمُ الْقُرْآنِ وَتَفَهُمِهِ وَاسْتِمَائِهِ وَتَغْلِيظُ عَلَى مَنْ تَرَكَ ذَلِكَ. The chapter on the obligation of learning the Quran, understanding it, and listening to it attentively, and having sternness upon those who leave it. The author, he says, وَقَوْلُ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى وَجَعَلْنَا عَلَىٰ قُلُوبِهِمْ أَكِنَّةً أَن يَفْقَهُوهُ وَفِي آذَانِهِمْ وَقَرًا. And the statement of Allah the Most High, but we have set veils on their hearts so they understand it not, meaning the Quran, and deafness in their ears. وَقَالَ تَعَالَىٰ إِنَّ شَرُّ الدَّوَابِ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ أَسُّمُّ الْبُكْمُ الَّذِينَ لَا يَقِرُونَ. And his statement, the Most High, verily the worst of living creatures with Allah are the deaf and the dumb who understand not, meaning the disbelievers. وَقَوْلُهُ وَمَنْ أَعْرَضَ عَنْ ذِكْرِي فَإِنَّ لَهُ مَعِيشَةً ضَنْكَ وَنَحْشُرُهُ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ أَعْمًا. And his statement, subhanahu wa ta'ala, but whosoever turns away from my reminder, meaning he does not believe in this Quran, nor acts on his teachings, then verily for him is a life of hardship, and we shall raise him up blind on the day of resurrection. Inshallah, in our class tomorrow, we take the benefits related to these noble verses and the narration that is mentioned after that. هذا وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم.